A couple of days ago, someone called me up asking about the halachas of making dairy bread. And the particular question was that there's a recipe for making bread, a dietary bread, that contains yogurt. And she wanted to know if there is any way to make the dairy bread. She actually wanted to make knead the dough with yogurt in order to eventually make pizza out of it. Is there any heter? So what's the basis of the question? So Gemara Pesachim Daf Lamed Amud Aleph tells us it's a brisa that a person's not allowed to knead dough with milk because there's a concern that a person might take this bread and not remember that it's dairy and might eat it with a pashami sandwich with some meat and violate the Isser Bishul of Basar B'Chalav. And the same thing holds true. The Gemara says a person cannot knead dough with fleishiks, with some type of animal fat, because a person may not remember and wind up eating this dough with some cheese, some cream cheese. And therefore, they made a gzeira that a person is only allowed to make pariv bread. Now, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph quotes a brisa that Reb Yeshua was telling his children about a certain situation of making dairy bread, kneading the dough with milk. So the Gemara says, how is that possible? Isn't it also to make dairy bread? How could Rabbi Yeshua advise the children to make dairy bread? The Gemara says, no, it's only permitted. You can make dairy bread or fleishik bread if you make it ke'ein Torah. What's ke'ein Torah mean? Ke'ein Torah, it's not Torah with a hey, Torah with a vav. So what does ke'ein Torah mean? So Rashi there on the spot comments, that means a small amount of dough. You're allowed to make a small amount of dough. It's permitted because since it's all eaten bebas achas, all eaten at one time, you're not going to have any leftover. And you're going to not eat it with the other type. So for example, let's say you have a lot of bread. So the first time you make it, the person making it is aware he put dairy in it. He'll make sure not to have any fleishiks that particular meal. But if he has some leftovers and eats it for a meal later in that day or tomorrow or next week, he freezes it, takes it in the freezer, he may forget that it was dairy and therefore come to eat it with bread. So Ke'ein Torah means just a small amount that Rashi permitted you, understanding of the Gemara, Rashi says that if it's a small amount of bread that you'll eat it bevas achas, you're permitted to make dairy bread or even fleishik bread. The Rif argues. The Rif says that it's talking about when you make the bread Ke'ein Torah. Ke'ein Torah means like a Torah is the English, rather it's Aramaic for the word shor, for an ox having some horns. You make the shape of the bread in a different shape than the normal bread. In this way, it will serve as a heker. It will serve as a reminder that you'll never eat it with the opposite type. So in this case, even if you make a large amount of bread, you need a large amount of dough, dairy dough, it would be permitted because it always has that heker. It always has that interesting, unique shape to remind you that this is dairy bread. Don't eat it with meat. Or this is meat bread, don't eat it with dairy. So these are two different understandings of the Gemara. Either make them very small or make them in a different shape. The Bach says, we paskin like the Rif, that you're only allowed to make it a different shape works. But to make them small in the same shape, like Rashi says, we don't hold that way. And that's the opinion of the Rambam and the other Rishonim as well. So the Bach says, how then are we allowed to bake Chal Erev Shabbos? Many women are busy cooking and baking Erev Shabbos, so they put the bread in at the same time they're putting meat. The zeya, the steam, the recha, the smell, and spilling over, it's going to make that bread fleishiks. That's a whole other discussion, whether zeya and recha are going to make it fleishiks. We assume there's a problem there. But anyways, you're making your chal Erev Shabbos, and it becomes fleishik. So how is that permitted? What's the heter? What do you rely on here? So says the Bach, the shape of a challah is considered a different type of shape. It's not a typical loaf of bread. It's where you braid it. And braiding, like the challah that we have, is considered different. It's considered a heker. And since we pass like that Rif, the different shape, a heker is good. That's the heter for making bread, making challah, Erev Shabbos, even though it's fleishik. And now, According to the Bach, what will come out just as a side point, since all challah he assumes is fleishik, since you cook it in the bake it in the same oven, then you aren't allowed to make French toast with that remaining challah on Sunday morning. At least you can't make a dairy French toast. You can make a fleishik one, but you can't make a dairy one. Others assume a whole other discussion. Rav Moshe, having leftover bread, they do discuss whether you can make French toast dairy the next morning, but that's a whole other topic. Our focus is making dairy bread versus fleishik bread. Now, Shulchan Aruch goes against the Bach, and he paskins like both heterim. He brings down both the heter of the Rashi, that small amounts of bread that are eating bevas achas, then you can make dairy bread. And he also quotes the opinion of the Rif, if it's in a different shape, even though you make a large amount of it, that's also permitted. So how do you define a small amount? For the heter of Rashi, what's considered a small amount? Rashi says bevas achas. Sounds like you have to eat it in that one meal. Beis Yosef expands it a little bit. He says the amount you could eat in one day. Sounds like before nightfall, before you go to sleep, if you make it in the morning, you have to eat it, make sure it's done 16 hours later, let's say. Or Chashochan extends it a little bit further. He says you have 24 hours, the clock. So you could even the next morning, you could still eat it before a 24-hour clock expires. So that's the definition of a small amount. How do you define a different shape? So Bach gave an example of a challah that's braided, so he assumes that's considered something fleishig. That would be a good indicator. Making something as a triangle, other interesting shapes that don't come the way a typical loaf comes. What about making a mark? Let's say it's a typical loaf of bread, but you make a little mark there, a little D you write in the bread or something like that. So the Chacham Adam quotes a Yesha Omrim that you can rely on that as a hecker, but not everyone agrees. So ideally a different shape should be what a person should use. Now, what point does the bread become usr? Does it become usr the moment you start kneading it with milk? So even though the Gemara sounds like it becomes usr bishas lisha when you're kneading it, it's clear from the poskim it's really the moment you bake it. The Pesachei Tshuva says that the shinui takes effect during baking. So what does that mean? So you can knead dough with milk in it. That's all permitted. It's just you can't bake it. So what happens if you knead dough, and then when you bake it, you put cheese on top. You make it into pizza. So it's clear from the Achronim that that's allowed. I mean, the only time dairy bread's usher is when you can't recognize it's dairy, or fleishik bread is usher, you can't recognize it's fleishik. But if you're making something that's clear it's dairy, there's cheese on it, or it's clear that's fleishik, you're making a meat pie, everyone agrees it's mutter. We're talking about a situation where you just look at the bread and there's no indicator whether it's fleishik or milchik. But once it's recognizable, it's permitted. So to answer the Shaila, so since she's, even though she's making the dough from yogurt, she's kneading it with yogurt and it becomes dairy, but when she begins to bake it, there's sauce and cheese on top of it, clearly indicating that pizza and cheese, and no one's going to forget and eat it with the meat, that's certainly permitted. But let's say a person bakes it first as dairy bread, and then only afterward melts cheese on it, that would be a problem. That would be a problem because the Shas Afia, there was no way to recognize that it was a dairy bread. It looked like regular bread. And the Pesachei Tshuva points out, so that time, Shas Afia, it becomes a Chefzah Shel Iser. It's a Dover Iser the moment you baked it as dairy bread, not recognizing what it was. And melting cheese afterwards isn't going to help. Now, let's say a person is making a bread for a large family. So we said one of the heterim is Rashi, that if you eat it bevas achas, eat it in one day. Now, does one day mean for me? Or does it mean for my entire family? Does it mean for all my guests? So the Aruch HaShulchan says it means for the entire guest. So even though I would be eating just one roll is enough for me, if I'm having a lot of guests over for Shabbos, I want to make a fleishik bread, let's say, or I'm for Shavuos, I want to make a dairy bread, I can make a large amount of bread if there's enough that all the guests that are over are able to finish the meal. That's allowed if that was my intention when I baked it. But let's say I was baking it, and I did not have intent of inviting a lot of guests over. And then I made dairy bread. It was a lot. It was going to last for several days. And then I realized, oh, wait a second. I found out that it's usher to do this. After the fact, I said, let me invite guests over so everyone's able to finish it. That doesn't work. Has to be Shas Afia that you plan on feeding everyone where it's going to be consumed by all the parties. But if you're trying to undo it after the Isser came in, that's not allowed. It's not allowed to melt cheese on top, making an eclair. It's not allowed to split it up amongst many people, giving small amounts. Everything is koveya b'shas afir. Are there any other heterim? So the other heter that exists, Pesachei Teshuvah points out in the bottom, this is in Siman Tzadi Zayin, the Pesachei Teshuvah says, let's say you're making a bread that's sweet. That's a sweet pastry, it's a muffin, it's a cake, and it's clear that you're not going to eat it. No one eats cake with meat. So then that's permitted. So let's say cheesecake. Now cheesecake's permitted because everyone recognizes that's cheesecake. But let's say it's something that's a regular muffin. Some muffins are dairy, some muffins are not dairy. That's permitted as well to bake that because no one eats muffins with meat. The only chashash is bread that is possible to be eaten with meat. That's something that no one eats with meat. That's another heter of making dairy meat. Even though it's not a different shape and even though it's not necessarily small, that would be another heter. Now, are there any restrictions of these heterim? So Pesachei Teshuvah points out that the heter of allowing a different shape only works in one's own home, where the family members know, oh, that's the shape of dairy bread. But to start selling them in the market, to start manufacturing them, not everyone knows that heker, and it's not going to be sufficient. And even if you want to say, oh, you'll tell the people, you put a sign on, the Pesachei Teshuvah says it doesn't work because you might forget to remind them, and then they may end up eating that dairy bread with fleishik. So the heker only works if it is for one's own home, not outside. So this, of course, poses a big question for English muffins. English muffins are bread, they are dairy. What is the heter? So Rav Forrest, in his Laws of Kashrus, this is page number 216 in the footnote, has seems to be addressing English muffins, though not directly. He's commenting on this halacha, that one may not bake a dairy bread and affix a sticker or put it in a wrapper that identifies the bread as dairy. That's the Pesachei Teshuvah, that putting a sign doesn't work because you might forget. So he writes in the footnote right before us, this leads one to question the propriety of marketing dairy breads, that we noted above the hesitation of Poskim to apply this rule to breads baked for public consumption, like we saw in the Pesachei Teshuvah. In addition, these breads are not baked in unusual shapes. Rather, the wrapper identifies them as dairy. As mentioned above, this is insufficient. This being the case, one should not purchase dairy breads, even if baked under kosher supervision. Seems to be addressing English muffins. He doesn't like the heter. What's the heter of dairy breads? Yes, the ingredients are kosher, but it falls under the issur of making dairy bread. Take a look what the OU writes on their website. They explain that one time it was argued that English muffins have a unique shape and therefore the first leniency applies. While this explanation may have been true at one time, the OU no longer considers this valid. At the present, both dairy and par of English muffins are commercially available. As such, the unique shape of an English muffin does not currently alert one to dairy status. Others have suggested that a single muffin is generally eaten in one sitting, it's bevas achas, the heter rashi, and the second leniency above applies. This reasoning has been rejected as well because muffins are typically sold in packages which should be viewed as one unit. A package of muffins is certainly more than one serving. I would wonder that I thought bevas achas meant the time of when you bake it, you should eat within 24 hours. These English muffins are baked, who knows, weeks, not months beforehand. So bevas achas, I don't think, would apply here regardless. But either way, the OU rejects it. So what's the heter for English muffins of being dairy? So says the OU on the website here, currently the primary justification to certify dairy English muffins is that the dairy component is less than one part in 60. It's batel b'shishim. Ordinarily, the OU does not certify a product that contains a non-kosher ingredient, even if used in small portions, because we're not permitted to intentionally nullify a non-kosher entity. They can't put a, say, pig into something, even though it's less than shishim. It's what's called batel b'shishim. We don't rely on that lichachila because ein mevatlin iser lichachila. We cannot be mevatlin iser lichachila. If it happens, if milk happens to fall into chulim, but the avid, we say batel b'shishim if there's 60 amounts of chulim connected to the milk. But lichachila ein mevatlin iser lichachila. But dairy English muffins are not comparable because the milk component in of it itself is permissible. Milk is permitted. And milk in muffins and bread is also permitted. And when it's mixed in the batter at low levels, the milk does not attain a prohibited status. As such, the OU concludes, preparation of dairy English muffins is justifiable. So it's a question of bitul b'shishim for davar heter. Now that is also a whole other discussion whether bitul b'shishim works for davar heter. Bitul b'shishim might only work when there's an iser, when there's some type of friction there, you apply bitul. But if there's no friction, the davar, the object is just there, the milk is there, you may not be allowed to apply bitul. And the truth is, the Kaf HaChaim writes in the Siman Tzadi Zayin, Sif Katan Zayin, that l'chachila, one should not add even a small amount of chalav, a small amount of milk, to rely on bit to b'shishim. So this is a whole other discussion. I'm not saying yogish muffins aren't good. I'm just pointing out that there is a discussion about bit to b'shishim when it comes to a davar heter. But going back to our initial question, kneading dairy bread while with the intent of baking it with cheese on top, where it's clear that it's going to be dairy, then it would certainly be permitted.